Saturday mornings, they are a great time to catch up on projects. And a man's peaceful Saturday morning ended abruptly when his 12-year-old son, Michael, came out with one of his friends, and he burst through the door. "Hey, Dad, have you met the new neighbors?" "No." "Come on, Dad, you have to meet them." "Well, maybe some other time. I'm working on my project right now. I'm busy." "Dad, you need to meet them now." Well, from the urgency in Michael's voice, he figured the neighbors were waiting outside. So he put his project to the side, walked to the front door, and guess what? Nobody was there. "Where are they?" he asked. "Oh, well, Dad," Michael explained, "we haven't met him yet either. But our baseball is inside their living room." Good morning. Welcome to the Eureka Presbyterian Church on this wonderful day of the Lord. The message today is love your neighbor. The type of love describing compassion, care for others, but also forgiveness. On Wednesday this week, I was in Toronto, in the Toronto area, to visit our farm there. And the local radio was full of the 50-year anniversary of the Beatles performing the last performance in Canada on August 17, 1966. And a year later, in 1967, they released the song, "All You Need Is Love." It became a hit, number one in countries around the world. And the message was simple. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Now, watching the news lately, it tells a whole different story. The complete opposite of love. It is downright troubling to witness the hate that is penetrating the fabric of our great nation. Polarization and hard divisions on political views, on social issues, on race, immigration, and the list goes on and on and on. But there is a way, which is much better, as we will soon find out. Now let's go back for a moment to our childhood. And we probably can still remember our favorite teacher. That teacher with these great anecdotes. And we hung on every word, rolling of their tongue. Now what great teachers have in common is an amazing ability to tell stories. Stories that make the message stick. A website called reacheverychild.com lists storytelling as an important trait of great teachers. Well, Jesus was a master at storytelling. He painted vivid pictures with stories to dramatize his teachings. And he told them in such a way that they were easy to visualize and therefore easy to remember. The stories he told were simple, yet they had a very deep meaning. In the Bible, they're called parables. Well, the word parable comes from the Greek word paraboli. Para meaning to come alongside. Bello literally translates to throw or to see with. There are 39 parables recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and Mark. And 28 of them alone in the Gospel of Luke. Well, this brings us to today's reading of Luke 10, verse 25 through 37. And that was in page, which one was it again then?
902.
Page 902 of your pew Bible. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Well, the parable of the Good Samaritan is very well known. America Magazine ranks it number 3 of the top 12 parables. But what is the core message? Jesus uses this parable to vividly illustrate to love neighbor as yourself. And isn't it interesting that the priest and the Levite passed on the other side of the road? Both were religious types, intellectuals, members of the upper class, and they left that poor fellow untouched. But the Samaritan was moved with pity, and it was the Samaritan who rescued the man laying along the road half dead. Now today when we hear the term Samaritan, it instantly invokes images of good-hearted, caring people. Likely because of this very story, having been told for nearly 2,000 years. But imagine the folks listening to Jesus around 30 AD. At the time, they thought of Samaritans with disgust. And to Jewish people, Samaritans were considered second-class citizens. Now you may ask, why? Well, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And foreigners had intermarried with the Israelite population in and around Samaria. These Samaritans worshipped the idols of their previous heritage. Samaria was also a place of refuge for all the outlaws of the kingdom of Judea, just on the south. And these violators of Jewish law found safety in Samaria. So the division between the Jews and the Samaritans was stark. like it was wrong to have any contact with the opposite group. Samaritans were generally considered half-breeds and were universally despised by the Jews. Jesus could not have used a better example to drive the point to love neighbor as self. If a Samaritan could help out a Jew in need, then there truly were no limitations to the meaning of this command. Now, although the Bible doesn't mention it verbatim, the command is commonly referred to as the Golden Rule. And the Golden Rule is universally applied throughout society. For instance, of the 10 guiding principles of our company, 2 of them find their root, their origin, in the Golden Rule. Treat neighbors like you want to be treated, and treat team members with respect. Renditions of this core principle are found throughout history. Confucius said, "Never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself." Socrates wrote, "Do not do to others that which angers you when they do it to you." Buddha said, "Hurt not others with that which pains yourself." All these writings date back between 400 and 500 BC. But the root of the Golden Rule goes all the way back 3,500 years to the days of Moses, receiving the Ten Commandments. Moses wrote in Leviticus 19:18, "Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." Now, what is fascinating that all these earlier writings instruct not to do something. And in an interesting twist of the Golden Rule, Jesus emphasizes on a positive command, to be proactive and to do and to love your neighbor. Now, who is our neighbor? The folks living in Eureka, in our community, they are certainly neighbors. But so are the people in great need across the world. On January 12, 2012, a 7.0 earthquake hit Haiti, and an estimated 3 million people were affected by the quake. Death estimates range around 200,000 people. 250,000 residences, 30,000 commercial buildings had collapsed or severely damaged. Now, countries around the world came forward to help those in need. And according to numbers provided by the United Nations, aid totaled $13.3 billion, led by the USA with $4 billion, of which a quarter, or $1 billion, came from private charity and individuals. Well, Chuck Swindoll, in his book Caring in a Careless World, asks this question: what is our mission as the people of God? He wrote, "I believe it is to show people Christ through our love and compassion, to display care in a careless world." And Christianity doesn't get any more basic than that. It is caring for, reaching out to, spending time with those whom Jesus called the least of these. A good example is Samaritan's Purse, a Christian organization founded in 1970 by Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, providing aid to hurting people around the world. Samaritan's Purse has helped people who are victims of war, of natural disasters, and disease. And then a few weeks ago, the Times Standard had a great story on Betty Chin, leading a group of 20 teens from as far south as Santa Rosa, helping serve the poor. And Betty has been tirelessly serving the homeless in our community for the last 20 years. Well, last month, I was talking to a friend who is taking a church group to Mexico for 6 out of the last 7 years during spring break. And they built houses for Mexican families in need. Nobody asks him to do this. He does it from the bottom of his heart, providing the love of Christ. Now, can we also love our neighbor when their son's baseball broke our window? Or when they inflict pain on others and their families? Are we able to forgive them? Last year, on June 17th, Charleston, South Carolina was hit by an incredible act of brutality when 9 members of the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church were massacred while attending Bible study. The news was shocking, and what grabbed the heart of the nation was the next day, in a court hearing, family members of the slain stood up and publicly forgave the shooter, Dylan Roof, of his cold-blooded actions. One by one, those who chose to speak did not turn to anger. Instead, they offered the killer forgiveness, and they said they were praying for his soul. What an amazing manifestation of courage and strength and love to be able to forgive after all the things that had happened in Charleston. Earlier this month, I went to Holland for a few days, visit some bulb suppliers, and attend a wedding for one of my nieces. We also took a little time to visit the Corrie ten Boom house in Holland. It is now a museum that was established in memory of the ten Boom family, who during the Second World War provided shelter to numerous Jews and members of the Dutch resistance. In 1944, the Gestapo raided this house, and the entire family was imprisoned. Corrie and her sister Betsy eventually were transported to the Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany. Betsy died in the concentration camp, and by the grace of God, Corrie survived. And in the years following the war, she spread the message of forgiveness and the love and grace of Jesus Christ in speeches over 60 countries around the world. She wrote the book The Hiding Place. It became a movie in 1973. And after a few years after the war, on one of her speaking tours in Munich, Germany, she encountered a former guard from the Ravensbrück concentration camp. He walked up to her after her speech. The minute she saw him, images of the horrors of the concentration camp started coming back, including the death of her sister. And there he was standing in front of her. And he said, "Nice message, Fräulein." And in her presentation, she had spoken of forgiveness. And here she was standing face to face, for the first time since her release, with one of her captors. And suddenly her blood seemed to freeze. Then he said, "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard in there. But since that time, I've become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But Fräulein, as he reached out his hand, he asked, "Will you forgive me?" And Corrie just stood there, wrestling with her emotions and contemplating the most difficult thing that she ever had to do in her life. She wrote in her memoirs, "I just stood there with the coldness seizing my heart. I silently prayed, 'Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand. I can certainly do that. But please help me with the rest.' So awkwardly, involuntarily, I shook the hand he had reached out. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raised down my arm, sprang in our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. 'I forgive you, brother,' I cried, 'with all my heart.' For a long moment, we stood there, a former guard and a former prisoner. I had never known God's love as intensely as I did at that moment." In the Lord's Prayer, we ask for our sins to be forgiven. But we also make a promise that we will forgive those who sin against us. Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, "If you forgive others for their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, your Father in heaven will not forgive you." God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And it is Jesus Christ that came down to be among the people and provide the message of love. In his parable, Jesus commanded to love our neighbor. And the illustrations that I used this morning show that loving one another takes effort and commitment. Helping victims in earthquake-ravaged countries, providing spiritual and physical aid to hurting people around the world, feeding the homeless in our community, building homes for families in Mexico, and forgiving those inflicting pain and sorrow. The lawyer had asked, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And the answer was clear. Love your neighbor. And the road to eternal life is found if we follow the lead of our Lord Jesus Christ and love others. Don't wait. Start today. Deliberately and genuinely love your neighbor, just as that Samaritan. After Jesus finished that parable, he told that lawyer, "Go out and do likewise." A little bit earlier, you heard, "Fairest Lord Jesus, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, my soul's glory, joy, and crown." Ladies and gentlemen, as we leave here today, carry the love of Jesus Christ on our hearts like a crown of joy and glory. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." When we walk out of these doors of this Eureka Church this morning, go out and make a difference. Let his light shine in this dark and broken world. Be a vessel to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let his love overflow like a fresh spring, quenching thirsty souls. The pathway to eternal life is paved with the good deeds of those who went before us. Amen.